Sprint cars. Super late models. Thunder cars. Modifies. World of Outlaws. Archives. It's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, let's see if we can remember how to do this. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. I am Joe Chisholm, Senior. Oh, and he is Joe Chisholm Jr. on that side of the room. What's going on, kid?
We can start the show off by saying Happy Father's Day to you.
Ooh.
And to all the dads out there, but
Seen the picture you put on Facebook, you and I in Victory Lane? Still can't get over that one night, eh?
I still like you, even though you ran me out of gas that one time.
That was too funny. I remember that. And as you were sputtering and heading for the infield, I went,
I forgot to put gas in it.
I wonder if I put any fuel in that little car.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know. All you did was arrive and drive. The rest was up to me. Well, I guess that'll happen at 8 years old or
That's
six
right.
or
That's
whatever
right.
age yep. you were.
Yeah, I'd still do that right now.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it'd fit in there now.
Not in a junior late. It would be a larger car.
Yeah, it would have to be maybe a legend car or something like that.
No, like a late model or
mini stock. You mean a big one?
Yeah, like a big car.
Oh, a big car. Big car.
Super stock.
Well, good part
I want
is...
I a super stock, actually.
Some of those big cars actually hit the racetrack. We got content tonight.
Yeah, we're going to talk about race cars.
Yes, we
on
are.
On racetrack.
And the cool part is I got out of four guests... Three of them are winners, and one might as well have won, getting a top 10 at Talladega in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Alex Labbe is going to join us here in a bit.
We got to check on Mario to make sure he's doing okay.
Yeah, no kidding. He'll be looking for a short rope, losing two out of three cars.
Man, just a rough one at Talladega. They tore some serious stuff up, once again, in the Xfinity Series. But Mario is having a rough go at restrictor plates this year.
Yes, he is. And talk about the master, really, at a restrictor plate track. Mario Gosselin is the real deal, knows how to get the job done, always prepares those cars where he can actually make real good time, and they have had some incredible finishes on super speedways.
Yeah. You know, you show up to a restrictor plate track as a small team, and, you know, I can kind of relate working... down south there, you know, on the smaller team side, the Daytona 500, the, you know, July race at Daytona, and then the two races at Talladega, everybody rolls in the back gate thinking that they can win.
Yeah.
But as a small team like Mario, it's one of the only races that they can win. And that puts the emphasis even on a grander scale. But the reason why they're small is because they don't have as much money.
Right.
And resources. And when you don't have as much resources and money, it hurts a lot more. It hurts the organization a lot more when you end up losing those race cars. And Daytona or Talladega, you don't just bend a fender. You don't just knock the nose in a little bit. You put the right front clip through the oil pan.
Yeah.
And you end up losing cars.
Save the seat.
Yeah, and sometimes not even that. It's just incredible. They love tearing stuff up, but I definitely feel for Mario and those guys at DGM because they had very fast race cars. They were in the correct lines. You know, there were still quite a few cars on the racetrack right up into the last segment, and you know, they just ran into trouble.
So
Cesar Baccarella and Josh Williams, both those guys for DGM, were having great runs, and they ended up both tearing and destroying the cars.
Yeah. Is the Cup race officially rained out till tomorrow now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I figured. No lights at Talladega.
They had to work backwards, and then they ended up losing Turn 3 and 4.
Tomorrow look good?
Yeah.
It does?
Yes.
Good, 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 good. Well, we'll have something to watch on the boob tube tomorrow.
We will, for sure.
Yeah,
that'll be everybody, good. Quarantine's over, though, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
People are working now.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm
so,
not, but...
So, no, but we all
well,
got to call,
am,
we all gotta
I'm
call
not.
In sick.
Yeah, yeah, tomorrow.
I mean, yeah, you can go on, you know, if you go online and just type in NASCAR sick note,
yeah.
There's a great meme floating around.
Yes, sir.
But it is an actual note that you can print off, and then you can fill it out.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, I, Joe Chisholm, request this day off, and then you can make up whatever reason you want. But
yeah.
It is for the NASCAR race.
Yeah. Gotcha. Speaking of winners and speaking of results, we got them here tonight on Racetime Radio. There was a race yesterday, Operation Green Flag, at Flamborough Speedway, and DJ Kennington goes to Victory Lane in the Prolate class, and you know all about it. You spotted with him. You were there.
Yeah.
Dynamite day.
Great day. It
watched
awesome.
It on G-Force TV.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job.
They did.
Weird. Simply weird,
yeah.
Being at a racetrack with no fans.
That's what you were saying. You could hear the birds chirping.
Yeah, there was, at one point in the race, there was a red flag. And, you know, there's when you're at a racetrack, when there's a red flag, it quiets down. That's a normal thing. But you still have the announcer in the background, right? You can still
yeah.
hear the announcer. Usually you have the other divisions in the pit area, so whether it be mini stock or super stock or whatever, there's other divisions at the racetrack.
Yeah, and they're starting and revving them. And
yeah, and there's noise at the racetrack. There's you know, even just the crowd being together is a noisy thing.
Sure.
Right? Like
yeah.
even during intermission, when nobody is running, it's still a noisy place.
Yep, you can hear people chattering and laughing and carrying on.
Yesterday we were 8 laps to go in a race, and we were under red flag, and... I'm wearing a headset,
yeah.
And I could hear birds chirping. And I looked at one of the other spotters who was, of course, 6 feet away, social distancing. And I said, "Can you hear that?"
Yeah.
And he said, "They're freaking birds."
Yeah.
And like, I mean, we're standing on top of the grandstand. It's it was pretty serene and peaceful, but a great racing, hot action. On the racetrack of Flamborough Speedway.
Yeah. You got to give it up to John Caselli, owner of Flamborough Speedway, for pulling it off. But he lost money. He lost money, and there is no two ways around it.
Yeah.
These guys aren't on business to lose money.
No.
And he took one on the chin yesterday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Got to say thank you. But taking it on the chin isn't a good idea. John has owned that facility, him and Frank, forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, doesn't know anything on the facility, I would take it.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's done a ton of improvements at that speedway.
A tremendous amount. Now, I will lead in to talking about the losing money portion with I am blown away at the positivity and the positive outreach by all the drivers.
Yeah.
As everybody should be. And if you're not aware of what I'm talking about, basically, you know, a majority of the drivers that had the ability to do so gave a portion of their payout back or just outright wrote a check.
Did a donation.
And there was a tremendous amount of that
good.
Across the board.
Very good.
You know,
that's off to the drivers, too.
Yeah, and even guys that couldn't make it to race there, you know, Sean Grossman and the 29 with Ryan Campbell,
right?
They wire transferred money.
Isn't
to them.
That, eh? That's good.
So, you know, when you look at the entire racing community, they understood that. And, of course, it takes the knowledge away. And for the first time ever at a race, it wasn't about that guy making money.
Yeah.
You know? And it was more about being at the racetrack. And when you look at the, you know, the feeling that everybody had leaving that place last night, everybody was jacked up. Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
There was,
and everybody wants more.
There was wrecked race cars, and I've never seen so many happy people in a pit area.
Yeah,
you know, it was just that way. A totally different exhibition race feeling style event.
Yeah.
You know, I've never experienced a race like it.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the racing on the racetrack. I'm talking about the feel of the event.
Right. Right.
And the overall landscape of what takes place at a normal race didn't happen.
Right.
And but yet everybody that had a racing itch,
yeah,
got it scratched last night.
Yeah.
And even if you couldn't make it, by all accounts, I've talked to numerous, like, a ton of people, and so have you,
yep,
that got to take it in through GeForce,
yeah,
and they did a wonderful job with the broadcast.
Yeah, they sure did. We're going to hear from both winners, Canadian Vintage Modifieds. I might change that to Young Drivers of Canada, Canadian Vintage Modifieds. We're also at Flamborough Speedway as part of Operation Go Green.
Green Flag.
Green Flag. And TJ Marshall,
yeah,
was the winner, and he's going to join us. Speaking of Talladega, the Arca Menards Series was on the track, and it was Drew Dollar that went to victory lane for Venturini Motorsports, and we got Drew coming on the show tonight.
Awesome.
So we got a great lineup of guests. We've got content. We got winners.
Yep.
Junior, I'm telling you what, I'm off the chip. Excited. We're not burning airtime.
Exactly.
We are actually going to talk results, and that's what this program is all about, my friend. And we plan on being on the air from now on.
Exactly.
We're going to stay put. No more dark nights.
Hopefully we can have racing.
Yes.
Continue.
Well, and you know what? I think we're getting closer. I know last night at Sauble Speedway, I was out there. We did a practice. Our COVID-19 practice, we called it. We had 9 cars come out. And that positive feeling that you were talking about at Flamborough, same sort of deal at Sauble Speedway. Everybody was jacked up. They got a chance to, unleash their car. And they haven't had a chance to do that yet this year. They got a chance to get out, go out and run some laps, and just get the juices all flowing. And I'll tell you what, sounded good, looked good. We got pictures up on the Sauble Speedway Facebook page. I did a little live thing on Facebook Live, and you know what? It was good. It felt good. We need to get these racetracks open, but we all got to be safe at the same time. So I don't know what the line is, what the measurement is, what the metrics are.
No.
But, Junior, we got to get it figured out.
I know.
Whether everybody comes in with a mask on and keeps it on all night, if that's the deal, then let's get to it.
Yeah.
I'm
going to put a zipper in mine.
It. Sure.
It is incredibly hot, and I will tell that, you know, to everybody, if you've ever pushed a race car with a mask before, you don't realize how much oxygen those things stop.
Oh, yeah.
And it's uncomfortable, but worth it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there are definite ways where you can stay away from people at a racetrack. To be honest with you, you couldn't have 5 or 10,000 people in a grandstand right now.
No.
You couldn't do that.
No.
But there's no reason why you couldn't have a race with 1,500 to 2,000 people at that facility,
and
still stay away from people.
Whether you got a full one or you got 2,000 people there.
Well, you can't be arm to arm with strangers.
Yeah.
You know, right now, I don't think people would subject themselves to that.
That's true.
So, yeah. I mean, if you had a way where, and a racetrack that's doing it right now down south, down in Florida.
Well, Jennerstown.
Jennerstown's like wide open.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania is wide open. So,
yeah.
Obviously, on the dirt side, Pennsylvania is like 100% dirt, right?
Yeah.
Learnersville and Williams Grove, and like it just goes on and on. There's a tremendous amount of dirt tracks. The Pennsylvania posse, if you will. The dirt tracks are wide open.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a buddy that lives in Maryland. He makes a trip over to Pennsylvania on a regular basis, watches dirt racing every night.
Yep.
And, like, every night. This guy will go to Pennsylvania and watch dirt racing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then he'll restart again.
Turn around.
Every
and do
night
it again.
He's at a dirt track.
Yeah.
And that he can be, I guess.
Right, right.
But, you know, when you look at you know, the dirt side of things on the Pennsylvania side, that state is wide open. And and you know, it is arm to arm. If the track holds 8,000, there's 8,500 people there.
Right.
And you know, the Jennerstown Speedway, last night we watched it, the Cars Tour race. Or not the Cars Tour, the Pro Late Model race from
Pit Row TV.
Pit Row TV. And the grandstands were packed there.
Yep.
The grandstands were packed at Jennerstown today for the NASCAR Wheel and Modified
season. Yes, yes.
So, you know, when you look across the board, there's a tremendous amount of ability to do it.
Yeah.
Are people dying because of it? That's the thing to check off. But it's been 3 weeks now that they've been doing it.
Yeah.
And doing it on a consistent basis. And there are people with masks on. There are people with masks that are at the racetrack.
Sure they are.
The difference with Canada, and Canada's always been kind of a leader with it, is would the fan come out?
Yeah.
Where I think in the U.S., you know, and definitely the segment of population that enjoy auto racing.
Yeah.
Right now, that segment is not really afraid of COVID.
Donald didn't fill his joint up in Oklahoma on Saturday night.
No, he did not.
No. And I figured that was going to be full.
Yeah.
But, and I think everybody kind of figured it was going to be full.
But there's equal to the amount of people arm to arm outside.
Yes.
Outside. To fill the place.
Big difference. Outside, inside.
Yeah.
Big, big difference. Hey, we got to hit this break. First break of the night, and then we got to grab DJ Kennington. Always look forward to having DJ on this program. But even more so that he won a race just last night. You know he's going to be excited. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, this is Kurt Busch, and you're listening to Racetime Radio. Well,
from coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Baby. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to meet you.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Well, there is No Sin coming on, but we do have DJ Kennington on the hotline, and we're going to bring him up right now, driver of that Castrol Edge Dodge in the NASCAR Pinty Series. But yesterday, he was at Flamborough Speedway. Operation Green Flag was in motion, and I'll tell you what, the guy qualified eighth. And he turned around and won both segments of that 60-lap affair at Flamborough, and we got him on the hotline. Happy Father's Day. Look at you. You fart.
What's up, Joe?
You flew yesterday, man. You were on a mission.
Yes, sir. We, late model was pretty good. I mean, we practiced okay. I didn't think we were, you know, I thought we were okay. I wasn't sure how good we'd be, and, during the race, man, it just got better and better, and it was awesome. It was good for my sponsors, for Castrol and Ryan Cathcart and Will Ride Transport, everybody that helped us put that race on with Flamborough, and obviously Flamborough for doing it. What an awesome deal, man.
DJ, I was following along on G4's TV, and that was kind of cool. I got to admit, man, that was they did a dynamite job on that broadcast. Having a look and, you know, following along, Joe would send me a little message every now and then. We're fifth quick, and car looks good. And I thought, wow, you got Watson, you got Fitzpatrick, you've got all the heavy hitters. Jake Sheridan was there. I thought, wow, you really got your work cut out for you, man. You haven't really raced against these guys for a while now. And I thought, man, you're right into their wheelhouse. DJ, you're in for a hell of a race. And, man, you were up for the task. I did catch a lot of it, didn't catch all of it, but I did catch a lot in the laps I seen. There was a few guys you were wheel-to-wheel with, and you just outraced them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of good cars, a lot of good racers in that series that run the Pro Late models, and it's a tough deal, like you say. Shea Gemmel was on the pole, and JR obviously races there a lot, and he's the man at Flamborough. And, I mean, there's just so many that it's kind of like the TV series. You've got a lot of great race teams, a lot of great drivers. And, I mean, it was a blast. It didn't hurt that Watson had his problems, and JR had problems, and Shea had problems, and Jake Sheridan had flat tires, and we just had a really smooth day, so it was nice being out front. It was nice to lead laps, and heck, I had fun. That was the main thing.
You want to believe it. Give us a little history on that race car. I don't believe I've seen that one, or have I?
And no cuss words. No cuss words talking about the Jukasa debut.
Yeah, we don't really like to talk about that. We missed it there. We brought it out. I picked it up from Will Jones, a friend of mine that does a lot of the NASCAR bodies in Xfinity and Cup Series, and his son was racing the car for a year, and they upgraded to a new Fury car, and he had that one for sale, and it was good and cheap, which I liked, and I drove down there, I guess it was, man, almost 2 years ago now, and it would have been October, I guess, and or November, and picked it up from North Carolina, and deadheaded her back home and brought it home and bought it just a rolling chassis and body. And, I mean, it's a nice car. And we took it out to Jukasa and tried a few things that we thought might work, and they didn't. And we looked like a bunch of monkeys out there. But we had fun that day, too, even though we weren't very good. And when this opportunity came up to that Flamborough putting this race on, and with Grisdales and McCall's and everybody helping out, to put the race on, it was a no-brainer for me, man. I'm a racer. I wanted to go racing, and I don't care what it is, if it's lawnmowers or soapbox cars, whatever. If it's a race, I want to go. So when they brought it up, I thought, let's go have some fun, and it worked out in our favor. I mean, never raced at Flamborough Speedway, so only been there and tested before, and it's a fun little racetrack, and I kind of like it now.
There was probably, I'm going to say 10 people yesterday that, you know, obviously talked from a distance, but talked to you. And every time that you said, I've never raced here before, they all did the same look with their face.
That I just did.
Yeah, dad just did the exact same look. Like, what? He hasn't raced there before?
I know. It's weird.
Like, that's
it's
one
almost,
of...
It's,
you know, it's just we expect you to have raced everywhere by now. You know, it's just the way that it is. But is there any other tracks, DJ, in Ontario that you haven't raced?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously, there's a bunch of dirt tracks and stuff I haven't. But yeah. As far as asphalt, I don't think so. I mean, I've ran Varney, and I think I've ran there once, and I've ran Sauble, and I think I've ran pretty much everywhere else there is. But I've been to Flamborough a bunch of times, like I say, testing my cash cars back in the day. And I've been there a few nights with Kenny Forth, and when Kenny was running there all the time. And but like I say, never actually ran a race there myself. And cool little racetrack. They've done a lot of work there. I mean, the whole facility was really nice, wasn't it, Joe? I mean, the pit stalls, the cement pads and so on. I mean, Heck, John's done a great job. And beautiful little racetrack. And I'm sure when we get back to normal, they'll pack the place. And it's a good place to go watch some good short track races.
Growing up, Flamborough Speedway, you know, we would go to all these different racetracks with the All-Star Series. And Flamborough Speedway, for a long period of time there, was a dilapidated facility, you know, to a certain degree. Like, there was a period in there where they allowed Flamborough to just go. And, I remember dirt, you know, or not dirt, but like, grass coming up through the asphalt. And they repaved that, right? The wall always looked like a million people had hit it. And that was just the Flamborough wall. And there was a lot of history at Flamborough Speedway. There always has been. But the last 3 years, every time I go back there, I'm like, holy, this is a new improvement. This is a new improvement, you know. And it just seems like John has turned this corner. And that facility is one of the nicest short tracks in Canada, really.
Yeah.
You know, on the facility side. And, you know, just the layout of everything is just is perfect for a good night of short track racing. You gotta, hats off to John and the guys, because, even the concession stand, that's the nicest burger shack I've ever seen, and I know my burger shacks.
No, absolutely. No, I mean, you're right, Joe. I'm totally impressed. Even, like I say, for getting haulers in and stuff like that, we've been to a lot of places across Canada, and some of the places we go to are a lot more run down and so on, as far as I'm concerned, than that place, and, they've done an amazing job with it, and I'm really proud to have been able to race there. Like I say, for them to put that show on, for letting us guys to go out there and race, and had a great field of cars on both sides. I mean, the modifieds and us, and you know, it was a good show. I really liked it, anyways, and I think you know, if the fans were there, I think it was a good show that they would have liked to see, and everybody saw a good show on TV. And all in all, man, it was just nice to be out racing and to have some normalcy.
We're with DJ Kennington tonight, driver of the 17 Castrol Edge Dodge in the NASCAR Pinty Series, couple-time champion in the series and a multi-winner, but he was at Flamborough Speedway just last night and picked himself up, well, yesterday afternoon, and to be more specific, and he picked himself up a Pro-Late model win. DJ, I got to just point something out that stands out to me. And I don't know if this is only the second time you and Junior have worked together, but I can remember two times. One was at Eastbound Park where you won out in Newfoundland, and now you go to Flamborough and you guys won. I'd say you guys are batting 1,000.
Yeah, so far we can't count Jakasa in there.
Well, no.
We can't count that because we were so far off with the car, I don't think Kyle Busch would have won. It was just one of those things that we tried some stuff and it didn't work, but we went back to kind of a square one deal there, and just basically, you know, kept it simple, which was a lot easier to adjust on, and we made some changes there before the feature, actually, in practice. We changed the spring and just tried to get the car freed up a little bit, and Joe does a great job, man. I give him a hard time, and I bust him pretty hard, like I say, but we have a hell of a lot of fun, and that's what it's all about to me. And he did a great job yesterday. I was pretty proud of him. He even said stuff that he knows drives me crazy, and I was so dialed in, I didn't even smart mouth him back.
No, that's like one of the things that we do best is we joke around, and if people listen, they might think that one of us is serious. But we know we can read each other and understand that we're kidding around. But so just to give a little bit of backstory, DJ absolutely hates, if it's something that's obvious that he grasps, yeah, he hates hearing it.
Oh, really? Like the green flag's coming out this time?
Yes. By. Well, no, not necessarily that, because that's like a normal thing that you're going to hear it as. But if he's the leader and you tell him when the green flag is flying,
yeah,
whole different ballgame. He will give you heck,
yeah,
on the radio. And you know, if he's leading and there's a lap car up in front of him, and you tell him that there's a lap car up in front of him, he will tell you.
He'll say, duh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Tell me stuff I can't see.
Exactly. That's your job. And so, you know, mid-race yesterday, we had a decent-sized lead built up. I think it was 4 or 5 car lengths. And you know, I'm trying to, like, just give him a little giggle in, yeah, behind that visor. And I said to him, I said, you're catching a lap car, slow car on the bottom up there in front of you. And I'm waiting for it.
Yep.
And he didn't say anything.
You thought his radio.
DJ,
broke.
Can you hear me?
I said it. I totally said it in my helmet because it's just me, so I didn't, yeah, push the button.
Too funny.
See, I kept it to myself. But he's right. I don't know. I've been at it way too long, and you know, like simple things. When they say, "Gentlemen, start your engines," and they say, "Well, start it up." Well, you know. No way. You're kidding me.
Yeah. I hear all the other ones. I guess IQ too, right?
Yeah. Is that what I'm supposed to do right now? I don't know what I've done without you.
I know who I'm going to be scanned into next time I'm at a race, and I know you two guys are at it. DJ, how is the Pinty stuff coming along? How's your cars all coming? Are y'all ready to go when the green flag comes up?
I'm telling you, it's like being ready for the prom, and there's no prom. We're all dressed up with nowhere to go. These Pinty's cars are ready to rock and roll. I'm excited if we can get back to it. And all the meetings and everything that we've had and phone calls and so on are positive. And hopefully everything, you know, it's so tough to read with this COVID stuff and the way everything's going. But Ontario, I'm proud of people. I'm proud of, you know, it seems to be holding its own for now. And hopefully we can get back to it here in the next month or two. And get some sort of racing in. You know, their plans are to try to run 5 or 6 races. They're working on venues and working on how they're going to do that with the COVID policies and so on. And hopefully when they do, we're ready to rock and roll. I mean, Castrol's behind me 100%, and that's kind of why I went and ran that race on Saturday. They've done so much for me that it was just kind of a thing I thought I could do for them and help them out and try to get a little exposure and so on, because in this time, it's kind of what we need. So it was a lot of fun, and hopefully these Pinty's cars can go running soon and we can keep the momentum rolling.
Absolutely. Echo that. I know the fans can't wait to get back to the track, the same as you guys. Got to ask you, DJ, we've seen you run, I don't know, probably 50 Xfinity races. We've seen you run multiple truck races. We've seen you in the Daytona 500 and Cup races, lots of them. Are we going to see you? Is there any plan that we can't watch you live at a racetrack, but can we watch you in NASCAR anytime soon?
You know, I've had phone calls and I've had teams calling and asking and so on. It's just, it's one of those things with the way this thing is right now for crossing the borders and so on. It's hard. And I honestly am trying to play it as safe as I can with having my kids and my family at home. And there's nothing in this world I'd rather do than go race a race car or go run a cup race or whatever. And I'm good friends with Rick Ware, and he's called me and asked me and made me some offers. And I'd love to go down there and do it, and we might do it soon. I really don't know, but I just want to keep it safe the way it is in the U.S. right now. Unfortunately, it's so sporadic, and you don't know what's true and what's not. And I don't want to just get in a situation where, you know, I get down there and be selfish and be silly and get myself sick or something and come home and give it to my kids or whatever. And so hopefully, yes, but we'll have to see how this whole pandemic thing plays out. And my big goal and my main concern is the Pinty Series if we get going. And it's going to be a shortened season and probably no championship. They will have a points deal, but there won't be an actual champion because it won't be a full season. But you know, if it's a 6-race series or whatever, I want the Castrol Edge Dodge to be out on top.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being safe, DJ. That is a smart way of doing it. And you wouldn't, like you say, you wouldn't want to go down there, and you'd have to quarantine for 14 days down there, and then you come home and do another 14 days, and who wants to throw 28 days out the window?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, and even with the travel and so on, with airports or driving even, you know, it's just, it's tough right now, and everybody knows that, and it sucks even talking about it, because I'd love to get everything back to normal and get life rolling, but it was normal on the weekend. It was fun. It was great to see friends. Great to see people that I haven't seen in a while, and had a great time with my park beside my buddy Fitzy. Him and I go back quite a ways, and we have a lot of fun, and it was really fun bashing him after the race. Especially, you know, it's nothing like kicking your buddy when he's down. But, I mean, he came back from the back of the pack to finish fourth, and had a great run with Trayton Lapsevich there, and everybody, you know, people mad, people upset and so on, think you raced them too hard and you squeezed them and on and on and on. We raced hard. There was hardly any contact. And my kid's got a ton of talent. Very impressed with him, and he's going to go a long way in this sport. And I was just racing hard and had a fun time, and he even texted me and said that he had a good time. I told him he did a good job. It was just fun. It was just 100% fun. And when you're having fun, good things happen.
Yeah, it sure does. And as much fun as you had in that race car, and I know you guys had as a team, we had just as much fun watching it on GeForce TV. It was truly amazing, and I know we look forward to the next time we can get you back in a race car and get the guys back together, even if it's fanless. Get that GeForce TV there, and you know what? We can put up with it, guaranteed.
I agree. I said the same thing. You know, one of the biggest things I miss, honestly, is the guys. I miss the camaraderie. I miss the road trips. I miss driving, even driving the hauler. It was nice to do all that. And like I say, the motels and the stuff with the guys and team dinners and so on. That's the stuff we miss. I mean, it's we're buddies, we're friends, we're human beings, and we love that stuff. And it sucks not being able to do it. And hopefully we can get back to it soon, because I get a great group of guys. Like, guys, I love them all. They're awesome. It's just like I told you, man. It's fun, and I love having fun. I love being back behind the wheel, and I can't wait to get at it again.
Hey, I will say this just to before we let you go. You have not been beat by J.R. Fitzpatrick for 2 years now. This is the 2 year mark. Now you've been lapped by J.R. twice.
Yep.
But still have not lost to him.
Yo, you just can't give up, Joe.
Oh, that's, you guys.
So when you look at this, fans, when you look at this, you've been lapped twice, but has always finished in front of DJ. Has always finished in front of JR for the last 2 years. That's very impressive, and I really hope JR is listening,
well,
because that stings so bad.
You
for
guys
him.
Quit poking a stick in JR's eye here, because I'm on JR's side here. He won at Eastbound, and so did DJ. So they're tied.
But that doesn't count, because he didn't win the second race. So.
No, that's true. He didn't.
And he blew up the second race, Joe. So we finished second in those second race. So technically, if you do the totals, we beat him.
Well, watch out, Jukasa. When those short track nationals come, watch out.
He's due to kick my butt. I'll tell you that.
Obviously, you know, when DJ got lapped by JR, he didn't say it on the radio. But he was really, you know, upset in the car.
No.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he drove by JR's car, parked firewall deep in the front straightaway wall.
Yeah.
He keyed the mic and just giggled.
Oh, no.
As he drove
now
by.
Now you're lying. Now you're lying. I wouldn't laugh. I would never wish that on him.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know what that cost.
I'm just kidding.
I know how hard the work is to fix that thing. But I'll tell you what. He is one hell of a race car driver. I have fun racing with him, and I know it's coming. He's going to kick my butt here real soon.
Well, it's going to be dynamite. You get back to chasing the kids and enjoy your Father's Day, and we can't thank you enough for your time tonight on Race Time there, champ. It was awesome, buddy. Congratulations on the Pro Late Model win. You did a dynamite job.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night. Happy Father's Day to everybody, and enjoy your night.
That is a two-time champion in the NASCAR Pinty Series, DJ Kennington, Castrol Edge Dodge. And he just did it again yesterday at Flamborough. Just amazing. You guys have too much fun, Junior.
We do, for sure. And just a gas. You know, playing back the race and you know, looking back on the actual overall day, the racing that him and the 32 car put on, like the fans got their money's worth on watching G-Force. They got a show, you know, and, yep. and same with Sheridan. You know, Jake Sheridan looked and made it three wide for a handful of times.
I seen one of them.
And you know, Josh Stoddy, you know, on a restart right on DJ's bumper, and there he didn't just pull away from the field and just not race anybody. He had to race four guys consistently throughout that race, and you know, obviously towards the end of the final segment there, he drove away with it, but still. You know, there was a four lap shootout right at the end, and he had to get up on that wheel and race Matt Box, you know, Matt was hungry as all get out, and same with Chenoweth and JR were right there. So, you know, he raced with everybody that was in that top group throughout the day, because really, you know, the eight best cars, excluding Watson and Gemmel. Both those two guys had trouble with eight laps into that race, but everybody that was in that top 10, other than those two, DJ had to race with. So, and came out on top. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it sure was. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Talladega for the next two guests. The first one got a top 10 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Quebec's Alex Lebe going to join us on the other side of the break.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best with Racetime Radio.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Speaking about the kid is hot tonight, well, tonight the kid wasn't hot, but I can tell you yesterday, this next guest was rocket fast. He was hot. He was at Talladega and comes away with a top 10 finish in the number 36 for DGM Racing. Of course, I'm talking about the 36 car of Alex Labbé. He had the class of 2020 on his car, and he's with us on the hotline. What's going on there, Alex? Look at you go, baby.
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. What about you guys?
Doing fantastic. Man, what a good race for you. And like I messaged you yesterday, damn, I missed it. I just when I walked in the door, Junior said, you just missed the Xfinity race, Dad. He said, what a race. Alex got a top 10 finish.
Yeah, for sure. It was pretty exciting. Nice and true to feel. And we got pretty good speed. I think we were probably in the top 15 the entire day. And just could stay well, tight in the lead pack and just get some, trying to get some friends out there. But it was a lot of fun. We're in a really good spot there at the end. We were P6 on that last restart. And But whenever you can get out of bed with a top 10 and a car in one piece, it's pretty good that day.
Well, yeah, especially when you lose your two teammates. Is Josh okay? Because I'll tell you what, that 92 car was foobarred at the end of that one.
Oh, yeah, no, Josh is fine, but the car is total. You're going to need a new car for sure, because both hands have been smashed up pretty good. But at least Josh is fine. I mean, there was nothing he could do there. He was just riding the top and the guys, they got together, and he had nowhere to go. So part of the deal, that's what happened in the super speedway. You gotta send it. You just gotta hope for the best and try to make your way through it. But sometimes there's nowhere to go.
More importantly here than Josh. Not more importantly, but. A different question, is Mario okay? Because losing two race cars, is definitely tough for a small team. But obviously, there's a lot of positives that came out of yesterday. But what's Mario's take on restrictor plate racing? I bet he doesn't want to go back there.
For sure. I mean, then the beginning of the year was the same thing. Like Josh was really damaged a lot, and Caesar's cars also. But it's been two races in a row. It's pretty tough. I know I think we only race these cars like three times a year, but still it's a tough break with them. It's part of the deal. Whenever we go super speedway racing, we know what happens. If we want to go race and get a good finish, that's the risk we got to take. For sure it's a tough break, but I think we'll be good to move on and try to build up some good. We got some good tracks coming, so we'll try to get some good results in the next couple of weeks.
Alex, when DGM goes to a super speedway, I know Mario has got to do a ton of work on those cars, him and the crew, but do you kind of take, like if you were going to get a brand new race car, would you take that brand new race car to Talladega, or would you hold that for a mile and a half track or something, and maybe take an older piece to Talladega that's massaged and going to go?
Now with the cars we run on super speedway, that's the only place we run them. We only run them at Daytona and Talladega. We don't run them anywhere else. It's like the motor and car are just speedway package. That's the only place we run them. So mile and a half cars are a little bit different. So that we only use them a mile and a half, and we got short track cars, go force cars. So we got like three or four type of cars we run on different kind of tracks.
So would it be fair to say that the super speedway is where Alex Labbé really, really likes to go? Or is it one of the tracks that, yeah, you like it, but you've got more tracks that it would be a favorite of yours, more so than Talladega or Daytona?
Oh, for sure. I think Indy next week is the place where I've circled on my calendar for the last couple months. And we're going to run the new road course in the infield, and I think it's got to be really technical. We're going to have a new car there. I just hope we unload pretty good. We're going to have practice sessions for this race, essentially. We're going to have 255 minutes, so I'm really looking forward to that race for sure. I mean, I was really looking forward to Bristol, like places like Bristol or technical road courses like this, like Indy, where we're going to go, or the Roval or Mid-Ohio. I think that's really places where I can excel the most, but I know we've been running really good on super speedways too. We've got a really good package. I think yesterday we had a solid top five there, but we just got bunched up there with one lap and a half. 1.5 to go there in the back stretch with the 0-2 and the 16. They kind of killed my momentum. I was in a pretty good spot. I was right behind the 10 and the 11 right in line with them on the top. I think we were in a really, really good spot to get a top five, but that's part of the plate racing. I mean, guys are driving hard and they're taking big risks, and that's what happened. We got shoved up, almost wrecked, but still recovered pretty good, I think, with a top 10 there.
Yeah, and nobody works with one another on the last lap or two. There is zero friends at that time. Everybody's pushing and shoving. They want to be the guy that's in the lead, right, coming off turn four.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It gets pretty wild there with 2-3 to go. It's a complete different world, I'd say. It's something you don't live in any other kind of racing. Cars are moving around. The air is moving around. Guys are pushing. They're not always square. Like, the cars are pretty tough to drive, but it's a blast. Whenever you can cross the line with the car in one piece, it's a pretty good thrill for sure.
Beautiful to see some decals on your number 36. This past weekend, of course, you had Class of 2020 on there. What can we expect at Indy? You got any supporters that are going to be jumping on?
Yeah, Indy, we got Troll on, the same sponsor we had at Bristol. They're back on board. Like I said earlier, I'm really looking forward to that weekend where I really want to put all the effort. And I mean, this weekend we're going to have a pretty big weekend too, because we're going to be in that Dash for Cash, qualified for Dash for Cash yesterday. So we're trying to gather some partners, trying to see if it's something possible. We can lease a motor from ECR. We know we called ECR this morning, and they got a motor ready to run. So I mean, for sure we'd like to be able to lease a motor and go around there and try to go around in the top 10, close to that top 10 range, so we can have a shot at that 100K.
Uh-huh. That would be so, so awesome, Alex, and you've got the potential. DGM has got the potential. Gotta love the way things are shaping up for the whole team there. It's been a wonder to watch this year. Awesome to see, and to see you in as many races as we're seeing is truly great news. Just, 2 years ago, ended up finishing in the top 20 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and I know you've got the potential of doing really, really good. Indy on a road course, look out, lights out. I know you had great results at the Roval. This is going to be cool. You got the potential, and all signs are pointing to a really good coming weekend. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I hope so. That's the plan.
Just keep it going. That's all you got to do. Alex, this has been great catching up with you. We surely appreciate it. And good on you for having a good run at Talladega. Give Mario a big hug for all of us from up here. And tell him to pick up his lip. He's going to win with one of you guys behind the wheel, if not all he is.
Yeah, awesome. I'll make the message.
Good deal. Thanks so much for the time, Alex.
No problem. Talk to you later, guys.
You bet. Alex Labbe, driver of the 36 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series for DGM, does a great job, Junior. The guy gives you 110% every time he straps in.
Yeah, for sure. He's, he's going to get noticed here.
He's got to.
If the world spins the right way, and I don't mean by a team. He's already on a team.
Yes.
You know, I mean by a sponsor, by a big corporate partner. Obviously, he's got people working, and the team has got people working to sell sponsorship. But, man, when you lay down numbers like that, he mentioned something, that a lot of small teams don't talk about. So you see the race cars on the racetrack, and you think that everybody's equal.
Yeah.
Smaller teams typically either own their own equipment when it comes time for motors.
Right.
Or they partner with one of the lower cost options on the motor builder side.
Mm-hmm.
A big team has got their own motor department, or they've got an affiliation with one of the three engine manufacturer,
right?
And then the sole reason for that is because motors are one piece of the puzzle, right? There's a bunch of different things that you can do inside an engine to make it better.
Yeah.
But there's more stuff to do in the car to make it better. So if you don't exploit absolutely everything in the car, it doesn't make sense to have the best motor. If you don't exploit everything in the motor, then it doesn't make sense to have the best car. When you look at the big teams, they have the best of everything. You can't afford to do that because you don't have an endless budget. Without an endless budget, you can't afford to do that.
Right.
So, and it doesn't have to be necessarily endless, but with a much larger budget than where, you know, where a team like DGM lives. You know, the interesting part is that those options are out there for smaller teams.
Right.
So, for a partner, like as a sponsor, you know, they have the ability to make that team into something. And really, just by slapping their sticker on the car for a slightly larger price point, there's improvements to be made to that team.
Right.
And an investment to be made to run better, which then promotes your brand even more. So that is, you know, a part of the game down there. You
yeah.
have the ability, and a lot of people have trouble articulating that because, you know, you're asking for somebody, you're asking for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars
yeah.
from a brand
yep.
To be on your race car. But if they spend 20s or 200s of thousands of dollars, they've got the ability to make your car go faster.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that is a portion of the industry that you know, doesn't get talked about enough. And I feel like a guy like Cole Pern has been talking about this now and bringing a spotlight to the smaller team, to what it takes to run a big team, those types of things in a different light.
And he's been part of both, right?
He has been, yep. And when you look at...
And tasted the ultimate success.
Exactly.
Really.
And when you hear a guy say, we called ECR engines, they're serious. You know, that's an event.
Oh, yeah.
That's an event where they have, you know, the potential to go win. And,
yep.
You know, it's really interesting, you know, that... And there's a lot of teams out there that don't have what everybody else has got on the
right.
racetrack or what the big guys have got on the racetrack. So when you see Alex Labbe or you see Josh Williams and or you see BJ McLeod or you see, you know, Jesse Little with Johnny Davis or you see one of those guys out there and they finish in the top 10, they literally brought a knife to a gunfight and won.
Yes.
And
yeah, yeah.
when they finish inside the top 10.
Sure.
And it doesn't get talked about enough by the broadcast. The fan base doesn't know. Therefore, when the fan base doesn't know, the sponsors don't know.
Right.
So they just look at, well, why don't we sponsor? Because they get a proposal from everybody, right?
Right.
Like, if you're a company
and
that's big enough.
And they don't get the airtime when they're running back there.
Exactly. If you're a company that is big enough to sponsor an Xfinity car
right.
or big enough to be receiving a proposal from an Xfinity team, you've probably already received 10 Xfinity team proposals. You've
right.
probably already received Cup proposals. You've probably already received IndyCar proposals.
You
probably
sticker
already...
Sticker shock.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when that happens...
And it's interesting because you have all of these different price points and models and... It's the Wild West, right? You have the teams coming in at millions of dollars. Then you
mm-hmm.
have teams coming in for tens of thousands of dollars. Then you have teams coming in for tens of millions of dollars. And you know, it's just a really interesting deal because a team like Alex Labbe, if you spent $300,000 and requested to run good,
yeah.
and you ran two races with them, with ECR equipment, with engineering support, you would be good.
Yeah, yes, you would be. Hold that thought. We got to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on news and highlights. And then hour two on Racetime Radio is coming straight at you. Don't you go anywhere. Don't move a muscle. We will be back for hour two. We got Drew Dollar coming up on the other side of the break. And the winner of CVM coming up.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. TJ Marshall, he won the Young Drivers of Canada Canadian Vintage Modified race at Flamborough Speedway just yesterday. He is coming up in hour number two, and so is Drew Dollar. He runs the number 15 for Venturini Motorsports in the ARCA presented by Menard Series. They were also at Talladega, and sure enough, that 15 hit gold. He went to Victory Lane. That's a tough place. It looks easy to go and win when you watch it on television and you see the guy that wins. You say, yeah, he's going to win. It's not so easy to do, right? You're fighting the whole day. You're sweating. It's hot inside that race car. You got your foot to the rug the whole day, and you're hoping for a little bit of a draft, a little bit of a wind, so that you can pull up and at least get past the guy for the win.
Yep.
It's tough.
It's very tough. And, you know, watching the end of that ARCA race from yesterday, you know, obviously Drew Dollar was being a good teammate and pushing Michael Self. And you know, they were nose to tail, on the outside line. Drew was pushing Self got loose. You know, and it wasn't even a bad push. It was just one of those racing deals.
Just where you hit him.
It was just the point in which the car was, you know, in skew and
right.
The car came around and Self went off the nose of Riley Herbst. Dollar poked through and ended up picking up the win.
Wow, exciting.
It was definitely, and it was only with a lap to go. So, you know, he had a big gap and you know, Jeff Guttler and I had a conversation about this on my way back from Flamborough on the phone, and really Drew or Ryan Repko in the 20 car for Venturini had a big run. He was linked up with the third place finisher, and they had a huge run. So I'm looking forward to hearing the a little bit of the backstory. He didn't throw an aggressive block. The car picked up speed at the right time, right at the end, to keep them behind him. And if they would have caught him with like an extra half a mile an hour,
yeah,
faster, and then would have ducked out, he would have been a sitting duck.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The stars aligned, you know, kind of followed him around to the checkered flag. He had a good enough car to stay out front.
Yeah.
Enough wherewithal to you know, really battle through all that adversity. That's a lot of stuff going on
that I
just talked about that went on in a very short amount of time and really are uncontrollable for a driver. It's just stuff that happens. And there's just so much energy that takes place in those moments that, you know, it's really interesting. So it'll be cool to talk to Drew. Obviously, not super experienced with super speedway racing.
Right.
He's got a couple starts now. Obviously worked with DGR last year and now with Venturini on the Toyota side. You know, just a great kid. You know, getting some results now and looking forward to seeing where he can go.
Can't say enough about Nick Mauncher, Billy Venturini, Billy Sr., everybody at Venturini, tell me they don't put 100% into absolutely everything they do.
They do.
Each and every time, each and every race, they go to that racetrack with one intention, and that's to come away with the victory. And they normally have more than one car at that event. They're a multi-car team. They're a multi-car facility or motorsports unit.
Yep.
They get the 15, the 20, the 25. I don't know if they get another number.
They've got the 55.
55, sometimes. Yes, yeah.
They've got a few occurrences where the 55 makes an appearance. When you look at Venturini Motorsports,
I go all the way back to when Billy was in the number 25,
and that was a Chevy team back then.
Yeah.
And it was Venturini Motorsports for Billy and Bill, right?
Yes.
Like it was not a development team.
No,
there are very few actual development teams in motorsports.
Yeah,
very,
I agree with
very,
that.
Very few. And Toyota, when you look at the Toyota program. They've got the TRD program on the dirt side.
Yep.
And that's Kuntz Racing, right? They race the Chili Bowl and they race midgets. And it's a true blue Toyota development program.
Yep.
Then they have Venturini Motorsports. Then they have Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Yep.
Then they have JGR, right? That's the Toyota hierarchy,
yep.
if you will.
Yep.
There's other Toyota teams. There's LFR, there's other Toyota teams,
right.
But that's the hierarchy when you look at the TRD stepping stone in oval track
where
racing.
It goes, yep.
So Venturini, think back to when Joey Logano was just starting out.
Yep.
Venturini put Joey Logano in a car, you know. Venturini put Joey Logano in a car and, you know, to get him approved for running the big shows for...
Joe Gibbs. Yep.
That was the beginning of something that was like borderline magical on the development series side.
Yep.
And really, like, they had already been working towards grooming some young talent. They had other cup guys that needed licensing or experience or what have you. But the Joey Logano portion was where I think the light switch came on. And now I'm speaking from, this is opinion based.
Right. From us.
The visuals, the optics of what they are. But I don't think I'm far off. From that point, Venturini went through a sonic boom of growth. And they went from having two cars at the racetrack to three to four to five sometimes.
Yeah, especially at Daytona.
And some of the best talent that you see on Sunday... came through the Venturini program.
Yeah. Look at the stars they have turned out.
Absolutely. Look at the stars that they've helped to get to the next level. And when you look at all the names that have driven for Venturini, now there's some that made it to the Venturini level.
Right.
And they might have won. They might have won a couple races or they might have had a couple top fives, but they didn't quite make it. They didn't quite cut their teeth far enough.
I'm thinking Steve Arpin.
Yes.
When you say that, Steve Arpin was a guy that got wins.
Yes.
And Steve Arpin is still very successful in now, what do they call it? Not car
rally,
cross?
Rally
cross?
Yeah, rally cross.
Yeah. And he's very successful in it.
Yes.
He just didn't keep on the same trajectory as everybody else heading for the Cup Series.
Yep.
Steve Arpin changed his direction.
Yep.
But a successful driver that also came out of Venturini.
Exactly. And when you look at the Venturini program, it's so aggressive on performance.
Mm, yeah.
They're a true race team.
Yeah.
You know, and there's 101 teams out there that call themselves a development team.
Right.
There are very few and far between that are actually development teams. But if you are a guy like Drew Dollar, if you're a guy like Ryan Repko, if you're a guy that has aspirations of going cup racing or going like further down the line,
yep.
with your racing career, the Xfinity Series, the Truck Series, Venturini has got every resource that you need to learn what it takes to go to that next level. And they have partnerships. They have partnerships with TRD, obviously. And TRD handholds those young drivers.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to Drew about a little bit about the TRD program. But it's incredible to see what they can do for a career of a young man. And really, winning at Talladega is part of that stepping stone.
Well, speaking of that stepping stone and that future star, how about it? We got the winner from Talladega, from Venturini, I might add. We got Drew Dollar with us on the hotline. What's going on, Drew? Congratulations on the smoking big win, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, man. You, my friend, are a talented young man. You did it. Didn't look like you were going to by the sounds of it, but you did her.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We, we led the first half of the race, so that was feeling real good. And then with about two to go, I think we were sitting fifth or fourth, something like that, and wasn't looking too good, but we were able to make something happen there at the end.
Drew, I missed the race. Did not see it. I was at Sauble Speedway doing a test. Tell me, did you get, after leading the first half, did you get shuffled back? Was it a situation where it was pit stops? How did you get back there, and then how did you make your way back up?
Well, it was a really different race. You know, we had a little bit less cars than typically on a track, like on a super speedway, but so we really only had five or six cars in the lead draft the whole race. So we'd halfway break at I think lap 38 or something like that. We all came down pit road, got fuel and tires. We actually didn't take any tires, but some other teams did. But yeah, we went back out. We actually led the first lap back out and lost the lead to the 18 Gibbs car, coming back around to complete the second lap after the break. And then he just led the rest of the race until the very end, about on the last two laps.
Gotcha.
So I think the farthest we got back was fifth, but we ran second for the majority of the second half of the race.
Well, and you know what? It only takes two cars to be on a racetrack to have a race. The reduced car count is really, like, it's good for the television talking about the guys that are on the racetrack, and like they should, and that's a good part about it. But I'll tell you what, the effort doesn't matter whether there was 40 cars out there or four of them. The effort is the same, isn't it?
For sure. And with Daytona, we had 34 cars or 36 cars or something like that. And at the end of the race, the lead pack was three cars. It was self, a DGR car, and then me in third. So same thing there. Venturini cars were up front leading the race. But this Talladega race, we actually, coming down to the end, we had a pack of five cars. So that kind of probably made it a little bit more interesting. But, yeah, lesser car count, but still same effort, and quality cars were still there as well.
Drew, obviously, you know, the big portion of the event, I didn't watch the entire event either, but obviously I checked it out online and watched all the highlights from it. One of the big highlights from the race is Michael self-save, and of course you were involved in that. It was a racing deal, 100%. You could see that. It wasn't like you were trying to take your teammate out. But talk us through a little bit, because the events, and I kind of touched on this before we got you on the hotline here, but talk to us a little bit about the events afterwards. So you get in the center of the corner, self goes around off your nose. Obviously it checks up Riley Herbs. You squirt out into the lead. But the stuff that unfolded kind of from there until the checkered flag, there was a lot happening, and you were able to maintain, but also were you surprised that you were able to maintain, because there was two cars with energy and then there was your car by itself, and in the draft, two or three cars is always faster than one. Were you surprised by that, by what took place there?
Yeah, well, I guess the first part of that, selfie going around there, first off, that was an amazing save. I was
huge
him after the race.
That was an epic save.
Yeah, I said, thank you for saving that, because we did not need to see the caution. But Yeah, the main goal every time we show up to any of these racetracks is one to end up with a number one is to end up with a Venturini Motorsports Camry in victory lane. So, you know, that was the goal there, and we were pushing as hard as we could for that. You know, within two to go, you're not going to drag the brake or come off the gas any. So, it's all out, wide open to the end, and I gave him a good shot on the straightaway. The 18 car came up to side draft, and when they went down in the corner, they were still holding on to each other pretty tight. And, you know, if you see the TV broadcast, they show a better angle of it, and it's pretty clear that there's a little bit of a buffer between our bumpers. So that was all good there. Selfie obviously didn't have any issues with me on that one. But yeah, like I said, it's 100% all out to the end. But yeah, once we cleared that big wreck, it wasn't a big wreck, that big save. I was really expecting the caution to come out because I had no clue that he had saved it. But, you know, I stayed in it wide open the whole time, and spotter was just like, caution's not out, caution's not out, keep running. I figured, and then I thought they were just going to let me take the white flag before they threw the caution. So between turn three and that white flag felt like an eternity. But once we got the white flag, I'm pretty sure actually the rules we have to finish on a checker, but I wasn't thinking about that right then. But yeah, once I got to the white flag, I kind of was checking the mirror a little bit, and I saw the 20 car, and I saw he had a drafting partner, so I kind of felt like we were in trouble there. But somehow they kind of caught us at a bad spot on entry to the corner, and that's really a spot where the car stall out really easily right there, and especially when you're driving up on somebody's bumper. So, you know, they weren't able to make the pass on me there. And then, you know, to the end, it was just kind of open and easy sailing.
We're with Drew Dollar tonight. He drives the number 15 for Venturini Motorsports in the Toyota, and he won himself the race yesterday at Talladega, and it was the ARCA Menard Series. Tell me, Drew, 2.66 miles is what Talladega Super Speedway is. How much of it are you looking out the windshield? How much of it are you looking in the rearview mirror and the side mirror? Out of that 2.66, how many miles are break it up for me. How many whereabouts are your eyeballs, or do you split them one and one?
Yeah, actually, the majority of the time, I was just looking out front, watching the yellow line. When we were leading all those laps, I'm just watching the yellow line, making sure I keep my left front, you know, one inch above the yellow line, just painting the line the whole way around the track. And that's something good that Joe White, my spotter, was doing all day. Just every single lap reminded me to focus and keep it on that line. And same with Shannon Rush, my crew chief. He came over the radio a couple times just telling me, you got to keep it on that line. You're doing a good job. You got to keep it on that line. So, you know, it was out the windshield for the majority of the first half of the race. I think the second half of the race, when I was trying to make some runs at the leader, I was watching the mirror to try to time it with my teammates behind me to get some good momentum built up so I could maybe make a run for the lead. But yeah, I mean, when you have a good spotter who you're confident with, you're able to focus out front and just focus on hitting your mark. So yeah, for me, I was really just focusing out the windshield.
So you're coming through the tri-oval at Talladega. You're flying. You can see the checkered flag across the line. Now tell me, when does it pop into your mind that you got to kiss the Italian?
well, he actually wasn't there this weekend.
Well, so, that don't matter. I know Bill Sr., and he's gonna corner you in the shop now.
Yeah, the next time you
see
him.
He'll find me in the shop. But, yeah, I was really disappointed not to have him there. That would have been a blast having him there. And the first win for Venturini, so it's not just a special one for me. It's a special one for the team, and that really just makes it mean a lot more to me as well. So, yeah, that means that just means a lot that we're able to get that Talladega win finally crossed off. I think that's probably about the only track that Venturini Motorsports doesn't have a win at, or didn't have a win at. But yeah, I think coming through the tri-oval, I wasn't sure if they were going to get one last good run at me or if we had it locked up. But I knew whatever happened, I was going to have to come up with something to hold them off and get to the checkered flag.
You were going to take that flag come hell or high water.
That was the plan. Yeah,
that's right.
Something big was going to have to happen.
Yeah, and that's the way you got to look at it. Talk to us about the Toyota Racing Development Program at Venturini there. What's it like to be part of an organization like that? It's got to be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely cool. Actually, in my press conference yesterday after the race, I was saying how I just loved how it was lining up. You know, I felt like no matter what happened, we were going to end up with a Toyota in victory lane, and that's really cool. When you have such a really a dominant program within Venturini as well as the Gibbs program, and I feel like we bring the fastest cars to the track every week, and that's obviously a big deal. But also, you know, the driver development, just focusing on the driver part of it is also big. It's, you know, keeping us in shape. Obviously, that was a really hot one in Talladega. And also, being the first race back, a lot of people, I think, you know, maybe let their workout regimen slip a little bit. But Toyota did a good job at keeping us on top of our program and keeping us, you know, staying healthy, eating the right things, drinking the right things. So, you know, I think that was kind of the biggest part leading back into this race in Talladega. And obviously, you know, 5 days from now, 6 days from now, whatever it is, we're going to be up at Pocono racing again. So it's going to be a quick turnaround, but with the group at Toyota keeping us sharp and in shape, we're going to be all right.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear you're following Toyota's regimen when it comes time for nourishment and activity, because if you followed Nick Monchers, you'd be eating a lot of chicken wings and drinking a lot of beer. So you stay over on the Toyota side, you're going to go far, kid.
Well, you know, Nick's actually been really healthy lately. He's been doing the juice cleanses and all that, so he stepped up his game.
He tells people that does that, but that's like Nick is a very
he's got to add
a little something to it, because I can tell you that smoker that's in his backyard.
Oh yeah,
that's one of the busiest smokers in all of North Carolina, and that's a very bold statement. So I'm just busting his chops a little bit. But,
well, we got to get him. He's not on the air, so we got to get Nick.
That's right. We're allowed to say whatever if he's not here, right?
Yeah, got to get him somehow.
Yeah, don't tell him though, Drew. Don't tell him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, too much.
Congratulations on the win, man. It was definitely cool to see, and you know, definitely have fun kissing the Italian when you're in the shop. it's coming. So
I don't know if Billy Jr. is going to continue that tradition. You know, one day. When we lose Bill, and hopefully it never happens, but we know one day we're all going to leave. I don't know if Billy will continue that tradition in Victory Lane or not.
He's got
to. He would have to.
It's a Venturini deal.
Yeah, it's a Father's Day thing.
This Corona break might give me a break from it, and when we get out of all this, maybe they'll become my way then.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
How do you forget about a global pandemic?
Well, I forgot about it. Just for a minute. That's all. Now, look at the two of you guys reminded me of it again.
That's right.
I had cars back at the racetrack. We got results-based programming. I forgot about the coronavirus for a minute.
That's what happens.
Yeah, racing helps you forget about it all.
Yeah,
for sure.
It does. Hey, where is your next race?
Pocono. Headed up to Pocono Thursday and racing there Friday, 6 o'clock.
Gotta love it. Who's on the race car, the 15? Who you got on the sides?
We've got Lynx Capital on the hood, and that's the main one right now.
Perfect. So you're deckled up, you're spruced up, you got a win. You got a little extra pep in that step, right?
For sure, yeah. And hopefully we just keep the momentum rolling, and we've got a bunch of races coming up with ARCA, so you know, hopefully the momentum will keep going with us.
Okay, now Drew, remember us when you become one of those Cup stars. Don't forget the little guys from Racetime Radio up in Canada on Sirius XM. You can't forget us now. I've got your phone number, so we're going to be able to call you when you win that first Cup race and get you back on.
All right, that sounds like a plan.
And we'll keep you coming back on for every one of these ARCA wins as well. We'll follow you all the way through, kiddo. It's been a blast having you tonight. You're a good dude.
Great. Thank you, guys. Hope to talk to you soon.
You betcha. That's Drew Dollar. Watch out for him. Junior, he's got the potential of getting a lot of flags.
The biggest news of that entire thing, Nick Moncher on a juice cleanse.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, it, cherries are now in stock, right?
He's so, getting a text message.
Is
this
he?
I wouldn't doubt.
I will be getting a text message here soon.
A juice cleanse.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a good idea. Why don't you try a juice cleanse?
Because I don't like juice. Can we do a Coors Light cleanse?
No. No, you all can't right. do that. That's proven not to work. It is refreshing, though, on a hot day.
Juice cleanse, Nick.
When the mountains are blue, right?
That's right.
That's when it's done. Then the juice is ready. Incredible. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get the Young Drivers of Canada Canadian Vintage Modified feature winner from Flamborough Speedway. He is a past champion in the Canadian Vintage Modifieds, and he's the first winner of 2020 in those Young Drivers of Canada Canadian Vintage Modifieds. TJ Marshall going to join Race Time on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. Donald Chisholm from Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and I'm home.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big ball shopping.
Hey, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
Oh, my God, a good damn.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Take it. You all the way to the track and back.
Ah, little kid bringing us back. We are live on Race Time Radio. Want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. If you are tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167, you're still getting this on a little bit of a delay, but I believe next week they are working on a program that is going to have us back on the air live. But not to worry, this show will be airing on Sirius XM, Channel 167, or you could be tuned on the Performance Motorsport Network.com, thanks to absolutely all of you, 98.9 XFM, Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia. and, of course, Gearhead Country Radio, or maybe you searched us out and listening on demand at racetimeradio.com, or maybe you pulled it up on iTunes, because that's where all it's available. And whatever way you grab the show, welcome aboard. Tell your friends, and we'll try and make this sport just a tad bigger and a tad more fun for absolutely everybody. We are working on grabbing TJ Marshall. Also, Junior, how about this? He drives the number 15. Number 15 was hot yesterday. 15 for Drew Dollar, and he wins. 15 for TJ Marshall in the Young Drivers of Canada. Vintage Modifieds, he wins at Flamborough Speedway. You were there. Did you watch?
None of it.
You didn't watch any of the Vintage Modifieds?
Couldn't.
No?
No, it was just how it played out.
The number 19, John Carley, the old prez of the club.
Yeah.
I not
seen
good.
It. I seen the. I watched it last night.
Right off the beginning.
Yeah, didn't.
Tough deal for Johnny.
Yeah, he destroyed that car.
I'm glad he is okay.
That car's hurt pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Vintage Modified side, you know, just being there at the track, typically when you're, you know, working on a division, right?
Yeah.
You're working in a division, there's multiple classes there.
Yeah. And you get
when there's
to
only
see...
yeah, when there's only one class there, it's pretty hectic because it's bouncing back and forth. You know,
right.
Or one additional class. So yesterday there was only the late models and the vintage mods
right.
at the racetrack. So it's very difficult to get away because you are debriefing, you're talking about what the car's doing, you're doing all those things. You're getting water, you're going to the bathroom, you're doing all those things, right? You
right.
gotta squeeze those in because there's the next race event. So I didn't get a chance to watch any of it, but by the time I made it back up to the spotter stand or the grandstands, they were just doing the awards down on Victory Lane, and of course there's no audio, no nothing. So
right.
it was a little bit surreal, but by all accounts, you know, from everybody who watched, it was great to see how many cars there were.
Yeah.
There was vintage mods again. There wasn't just five cars.
Hats off to John Carley and to absolutely every single one of those race teams that have prepared those Young Drivers of Canada Canadian Vintage Modifieds. Welcome back. Oh, man. It feels so good to see that many cars on the racetrack. They are genuinely... a super division to watch whenever they pull into a racetrack. To watch the Canadian Vintage Modifieds is always something that I've enjoyed doing for my entire lifetime. But what do you say we get back to the hotline and let's welcome in yesterday's winner. You would have seen it on GeForce.tv. And it was TJ Marshall, past champion of the series, also starting 2020 off with a victory at Flamborough just yesterday. TJ, what's going on? How you doing, brother?
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic, man. Congratulations on the big win. How did that feel?
Well, it was a day of ups and downs, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sure was. Ups and downs all over the place. You did a beautiful job preparing that car. That 15 car looks absolutely gorgeous, just so you know.
Well, thanks. It wasn't very beautiful during... the time between first practice and race, we changed gears, drive shaft, transmission. It was a bit of a nightmare. So,
well, you got it all sorted out, man, and that's what you wanted to do. Mission accomplished, so to speak, at Flamborough round one.
Yeah, everything went well, apart from practice and qualifying. The race went as smoothly as I could have hoped, starting 16th.
So where do you go from here now? You guys, you had a good run at Flamborough. Is there any other talk or any other plan for the Young Drivers of Canada Canadian Vintage Modifieds to make another appearance? I know Flamborough Speedway does have another event on the schedule. I believe it comes up next weekend.
July 4th.
And I don't know what's all on the schedule. I think mini stocks. I want to say... Pro stock.
Super stock.
Super stock.
Yep.
Super stock.
There's something else as well.
Is it Young Drivers of Canada Canadian Vintage Modifieds by chance? Has there been any talk, bud?
As far as I know, there has not. Like, I am on the board of the vintage modifieds. As far as I know, we're sort of in a holding pattern until Flamborough Speedway is allowed to race again. But like I say, I don't have any insider information that I could pass along.
Right, right. Well, hats off to John, though, for getting you guys on track this time. I got to say, man, and I think you heard me off the top, awesome to see this many cars. Good on you, good on John, good on all of you. What do you attribute the success to? Because there was a lot of cars on track.
Is John Carley. Ever since he was elected president, countless hours on the phone every week, talking to new members, past members, people thinking about getting cars, publicizing on Facebook, publicizing on Instagram, website. It's just been countless hours he's put in, and fortunately it all paid off. He did a great job. Yeah, it was almost overwhelming seeing how many cars were there. Yeah.
You wouldn't have wanted to start like 20th.
Well, he did. He started like 16th. He started pretty far back, right?
Yeah.
You started far back there. But looking at the, you know, it brings me back. It like back in time. I remember the Canadian Vintage Modifieds rolling into Sauble Speedway when I was like, you know, 12, 13 years old, and they were, you know, the biggest division.
Oh yeah, by
like,
far.
Like of car count.
Yep.
That would travel. You know, there was always a lot of all-star cars, but there would always be 25 vintage modifieds every single time.
Yeah.
Can-Am Midgets, they would roll in, there'd be like 18, 24. You know, that's like a normal ratio back then. And, you know, going outside of that, the vintage modifieds were dominant for how many cars they had. And, you know, over the years, they just continually slipped and slipped and slipped. And, you know, to see that many cars in the pit area, there was only two divisions, and that pit area was busy at Flamborough Speedway.
Yeah.
And that's a massive pit area. One of the largest pit areas in short track racing in Ontario. And that pit area was busy. Like,
yeah.
there it didn't look like you could shoot a cannon off in there and not hit anything, you know? It was really cool to see. Great car count. And really, for the vintage modifieds to have more cars there than pro late models, mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is John Carley, and I think everybody that we talked to, everybody that we've talked to points at John. John took the reins, you know, took the bull by the horns and really, you know, dove in there. But everybody jumped on board, too.
Yes.
And that's the neat part about it. There was a tremendous amount of people that that really dove in and you know, took part in it and pushed the message that John was you know, broadcasting and pushed the message that, you know, there was new guys joining. And it was so cool to see the snowball effect that happened over the winter of 2020.
Yeah,
there was a lot of cool stuff that happened. Talk to us a little bit about the changes to the tour. Talk about the competition. Number one, there was changes made throughout the year. What was the competition like on the racetrack? Did you notice any advantages, disadvantages that some had that some didn't? You know, across the board, what would you score the competition at for on-track racing product? TJ?
Well, I want to start off by saying the track was really difficult yesterday. Really tight in the center and really slick off. So I think that might have had a little bit of an effect. Myself with quite a lot of experience and that car probably helped me tune it a little better for the way the track was. It's hard to say, right? There was a lot of new cars, a lot of people who brought cars out that have been sitting for quite a while. It's like any piece of equipment, right? As soon as you bring something out that hasn't run in a while, it's not always going to run 100%. It takes time to get up and operating again. So I think everyone did a great job showing up, doing the best they could. This year was the building year for sure. I hope hope everyone just gets better as the year goes on. Hopefully we get back to the track soon.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Cautions breed cautions, but cars also breed cars by the look of this.
Absolutely. Need competition, right?
And you guys are loaded with it. That's kind of cool. Is it any easier, if that's the right term, to try and find a body for one of these cars? Are they making them out of fiberglass now so that you guys don't have to search the world over to try to find a 1932-looking body?
That's a good question. Yes, they make them out of fiberglass. Currently, our rules do not allow for it. But I want to say there's been at least four or five cars that have been brought back up from Michigan, from either the VROA or the Glow Modified. So for those members who brought cars back up from the States, I got to give them a huge thanks. There was a spell of 6 or 7 years where it seemed every car that was being sold to the States. So it's a great honor to have those cars come back, get them repatriated.
Yeah, I absolutely. And to see these cars on the racetrack, I know for old hot rod guys that I have spoke to in some of the grandstands, be it Sauble or Flamborough, some guys really get twisted up that these are turned into race cars, and they don't realize that, you know, maybe it's just the roof section. You guys have handcrafted the rest or pretty close to it. You know, you got your roof section, your trunk lid. And, you know, the sides are fabricated up. But there are a lot of guys that get twisted right up. If they're old car guys, they don't want to see them turned into race cars. They want to see them back on the road.
Yeah, but what we got to remember, too, is a lot of these cars came from the 50s and 60s when they were no different than, like, a 94 Sunbird, right?
Exactly.
There's been a lot of recycled bodies throughout the years. Some are full, more Bondo than steel. Some of them are far from being restorable, so it shouldn't be necessarily frowned upon.
Exactly. Not too big of a bee in their bonnet. They got to settle down, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Enjoy the racing.
That's right. Enjoy it. Yeah. I think, you know, when you look at the two divisions right now, and this is proof in the pudding that different cars are cool. You know, when you look at the Canadian Vintage Modifieds, there are not two cars that look the same.
No.
Right? There's
not normally,
There's very, very few cars that look similar, even. You know, when you put side by side, if you took every car in the field, mixed and matched, and parked them side by side with each other, there's a tremendous amount of different looking machinery out there. The same stuff underneath, or relatively the same. When you look at I'm going to actually say the three most populated divisions right now have ingenuity that you can do to the car. You can change stuff. You can have different looking things, right? You can have a unique look. And I would put that with the Vintage Modifieds,
yep,
with the Oscar Hot Rods,
yep,
and the Oscar Modifieds.
Yep, yep.
When you look at those three divisions, you're not pigeonholed. You don't have the same thing that everybody else has got. There's uniqueness, but there's also the cool factor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When you have a race car, when you have a street rod, when you have a boat, you want something that looks cool, that everybody looks at and says that is cool. If you take,
yep,
pride in something, it's no different than a paint scheme, you know, on a pro late model. The body style is so crucial, and
yeah,
and for the fans. I think that the fans absolutely adore that as well. And when you look at the Vintage Modifieds, there is not a better division. There was cars out there that looked immaculate,
yeah,
and exciting to see, man. Like, there was cars rolling by our pit, and DJ would stop working
and
look at the car and say,
yeah,
wow, look at that thing.
Look at,
like,
that
thing looks bad to the bone.
Yeah, and they all look like Harry Nicholson now.
Yeah, exactly.
Harry,
yeah,
Nicholson back in the day, that number 14 car, I remember it as a youngster. What a beautiful-looking car. Ramage had another one. I think he was the number 74, I want to say. That beautiful-looking race cars. TJ, you guys have done an amazing job. give those sponsors a hit that are on the side of your number 15 machine, because they deserve it.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So we have Sewers Custom Painting, Riverside Heating and Air Conditioning, Severus Engineering Group, Shelby Roofing and Sheet Metal, Creative Edge Signs and Graphics, Henry's Automotive, Finish Line Painting, and I just want to give a shout-out to my crew who helped me out yesterday. My father, happy Father's Day, Randy Marshall, Jim Swears, Glenn Benish, Scott Lyons, John Mayer Weingarten helped out, and got to thank Brian Atkinson. He ran home and grabbed a drive shaft. Fortunately, he had a drive shaft the right length when we detonated ours. Yeah, it was an eventful day, to say the least.
Tell me you're not hooked up with the right guys. Oh, my God. Jimmy Swears, they don't make him much better than that guy. Your dad, another one that's a dead ringer, just amazing. You got a great crew of guys. You got a beautiful-looking race car. And look at that. You get the results. How cool.
Yeah, things went our way yesterday. Like I say, after qualifying, everything turned around, so.
Well, you did a dynamite job, TJ. Congratulations on the win, and we got to thank you so much for the time tonight on Race Time. We genuinely appreciate it, my friend.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for everything you do.
You betcha. That is TJ Marshall, Victory Lane, Young Drivers of Canada, Canadian Vintage Modifieds. Check him out online on Facebook, and go back, I believe, GeForce TV. We'll probably have that show archived.
It's already live.
Is it?
Yep.
Check it out. Yeah, check it out. If you're a short track fan, I don't care where you are. Check it out.
Yeah, GeForce.TV, and it'll take you right to the YouTube video, and you can watch the entire thing in
yes.
the entirety from the drop of the first green flag all the way through to the final checkered. And they definitely, you know, if you're itching for some racing.
There you go.
There you go.
And it's Canadian racing
to
boot.
That's right.
Okay, final break of the night. We will be back. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. This is Mark Williams from RacingTrader.ca, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Race Time Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight. I just got to say, I am missing my parts for trucks, Pro Stock Maritime, Pro Stock Tour. I am missing it like you would not believe. Coming up this Tuesday night, you can check them out. Back to iRacing we go, and it's the Nova Truck Center's 150, and it is on iRacing. And I'm not sure how many cars Tim Terry has got rounded up, but I'll bet you it's up in the 20s. And I helped out the last time for the Cummins 200. And I'll tell you what, I was on there with Mike James from Eastbound Park, Dylan Langell, the announcer at Riverside International Speedway, and Paul Strickland Jr. Was down in the U.S., and he was doing our replays and everything, along with Tim Terry. And I'll tell you what, it was dynamite racing. All it did was make me miss all my East Coast family even more. But I got to say, I really, really miss the Pro Stock Tour and all my Racetime Radio live guys. We had a full schedule lined up this year. And that's not to say we're not going to do any. I'm hoping we're still going to. But it's just not looking good right now.
Yeah.
It's just not looking good. We need to get this COVID-19 thing. We need to get this thing shelved. I don't know what it's going to take, but it's got to go. It has to, or this is going to be detrimental. I'm also missing, and I can't wait to see, we had two Oscar Modifieds testing at Sauble Speedway. Reinhardt was there, and the other name was Newman. We had the 11 and the 51. I'll tell you what, Junior, those two cars looked incredible. They were fast.
Yep.
Can't wait to see the Oscar Modifieds. Can't wait to see the Oscar Hot Rods. Can't wait to see the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup. Can't wait to see the Can-Am Midgets. Can't wait to see the Pindy Series. Can't wait to see APC.
Yeah. APC.
Everything.
On and on. Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is killing me. We got 30 degrees Celsius outside. That's 85 degrees plus humidity for our American listeners.
Yeah.
It's better than racing weather.
Yeah.
And we haven't got much here at all. Thank you, Flamborough.
Yes.
There was some racing, I do believe, or is going to be in New Brunswick. Petty International Raceway. I want to say, I forget the name of the other track.
Coal Miners?
No, not Coal Miners. Miramichi.
Oh, okay.
I think Miramichi. Tim Terry will know. Check out timscorner.ca for results. They should have some if they did race.
Yeah.
And we'll also do some digging next week to try and get you some East Coast stuff. But I'm pretty sure they got a green flag in the air out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? What are you earning, yearning to see?
Definitely the Pindy Series. You know, at this point,
it's going to look different.
It's going to look a lot different. And, you know, talking to a lot of late model guys, obviously you couldn't spend a whole lot of time. Like, it's different being at the racetrack now because you can't go to somebody else's pit and stand there and talk to them. You know? Like a majority of the time at a racetrack,
You're socializing.
You're socializing the entire time. Yep. You're going over to other pits. You're borrowing parts. You're lending parts. You're talking. You're doing
yelling.
That type of thing. You're yelling. You're fighting. You're doing whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now it's a little bit different, but you still have conversations, right? You can't help it. You haven't seen somebody for a long period of time. You know, talking about the IWK 250 or talking about the Parts for Trucks Tour.
Yeah.
There's a lot of late model guys talking about that race.
Yeah.
What do you think about that race happening? Do you think, like, because when you look at our demographic in racing,
yep,
for the large part of who is racing,
yep,
and who owns race cars and who does the driving, they're working still. They worked all the way through this pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
They have budget. They have sponsorship. They have those types of things.
They do.
And, you know, everybody is itching to go racing.
Yeah.
So if, by chance, things start to open up, I don't think that there'll be a car count problem.
No.
I think that there's going to be a fan problem in wanting to go sit there and be a part of the crowd.
Well, and at Riverside for the IWK 250, it's not a $25,000 race.
Mm-mm.
That's like over a $100,000 race.
Exactly.
You depend on those fans, and we put them in there 10,000, 12,000.
Exactly.
And I don't mean counting them on the way in and on the way out.
No.
I mean counting them once. Yeah. That place is jammed from turn two all the way to turn four.
Yep.
And it is a sight to see,
mm-hmm,
I'll tell you. And when that IWK 250 goes, whenever it goes, you can guarantee Racetime Radio will be bringing it to you live.
Yep, 100%.
I don't care. Jerry doesn't care. whether the two of us have got to hitchhike our way
yeah.
to sneak across the border into Nova Scotia to do it,
yeah.
we will not miss the IWK 250 if it goes green.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is that I think that you would have probably 10 or 15 Ontario guys.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That would make the trip to do that right now.
They would.
You know,
yeah.
that would go there to do it. You know, APC is, you know, it's kind of up in the air of what's happening, well, as is everything else.
It can't be a point series now. You just can't fit all the races in. And you can't expect APC
exactly.
to spit all that money
exactly.
out. On a few
yep.
races.
No, exactly.
So, like, the point's fun, just yep. like DJ mentioned with the Pindies deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there is races,
yep.
there's not going to be a points fund. It's no. going to be more about doing the race.
Exactly. And when you look at the larger events, it's going to be, you know, a positive
yeah.
For larger events like the Canadian Short Track Nationals. If they take place this year.
Yep.
There's going to be a tremendous amount of cars there just because everybody wants to, like, they need to take part in something.
They do.
Right?
They do. That from the Canadian side, the Cars Tour is operating down in the U.S., right? It's coming up on Pit Row TV.
Yeah. So the Cars Tour operated last weekend.
They're
operating this weekend again. They raced yesterday at Anderson. And, yeah.
They're going to be at Jennerstown. Yeah.
On the 4th.
And it'll be on Pit Row TV.
Yep.
Oh, don't miss it.
Nope.
Awesome, awesome broadcast. Tony
Absolutely.
Stevens does an amazing job with that.
Yep, yep.
We got to get Tony back on and find out what his lineup is because he sneaks races in. Last night's Jennerstown race was on.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched Albert Francis that we had on the program here, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
Three? No, more than that. No, maybe a month ago. He went to Victory Lane and did a hell of a job.
Yeah. It was awesome.
That 33 rack under machine, that thing's hooked up.
Yep, yep. Went to Victory Lane. It was cool. But, yeah, he does sneak them in, right? Like,
yeah.
that was not a planned race.
I don't think it was planned
yeah.
anyway. Not on our radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's, you know, I think it'll if we can have racing.
Yeah.
Towards, you know, the end of July, early August.
Yep.
You can have fans back in the grandstands and racetracks can start to open up.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be some crazy racing this year.
Yes.
Like, because everybody is pent up. Some of the best racing that you ever see is when there was a rain delay and then
yeah.
you go racing the same day.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys are just itching to get at it, right?
Yeah. 100%. And you know, you seen it last year at the Short Track Nationals. There was a day in there, right?
Yeah.
There was a day between it.
Yep.
And we've seen one of the craziest events that I've seen in a long time, the heat races, the last chance qualifier with a fist fight with House and, you know, just a crazy unfolding of events. And that was just one day.
Yeah.
Imagine what it is when it's in a year.
And Matt Perdigo ends up in the second spot because
exactly.
the guy in second actually got popped. And yeah. that moved Matt Perdigo, the number 21 Global Warranties machine, into second.
Mm-hmm.
Big finish for
hey,
Matt.
Hey, big congratulations for Matt Perdigo.
Oh.
He's a new dad.
Is he?
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
He had a baby on yesterday, and
yeah.
today's Father's Day. So.
Well, you got to love that.
Yep.
What a joyous occasion that'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Well, we are grinding to an end here on Racetime Radio. We want to thank you all for tuning in. Right here on Sirius XM Channel 167 or however you're getting Racetime Radio. We surely appreciate it. Got to thank Sue here in the Racetime Radio studio. And we got to thank Scotty back in the Toronto studio at Sirius XM. And Cassandra. I can't forget about you, Cassandra. Always helping us out hit the air. We look forward to being back with you next week here on the show. And we're going to have more results-based programming. I can guarantee you that. Things are starting to open up, and it's not going to be too long. Everybody's got to be patient, us included. We will get back to the racetrack here in 2020. I'm really confident, at least I'm praying, that we're going to get to the racetrack up here in Canada. And I can't wait to get together with absolutely all of you at some point or another. But one thing I can guarantee, next Sunday night, we will be back with you right here as long as one of us don't get hit by lightning or something crazy, we will be back on here.
That's right.
And we look forward to it. Have a happy Father's Day, and we'll catch you all next week right here live on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.